order at 6:08 p.m. on Thursday, July 30th, 2020. Can we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
There was a delay. That was a little different.
Alrighty.
I was trying to keep pace.
I will now recognize that we do have a quorum. We have Bishop Thomas, and just bear with me, guys, while I call everyone out. Bishop Thomas. Dr. Irwin, we have with us virtually Mrs. Robinson, Dr.
He was, but he's not now.
Okay, I will count him. I hope he gets back on.
Okay.
Dr. Fletcher, and I said Mrs. Robinson, and we also have on virtually Mrs. Comedies and Mrs. Tridente.
Yes.
And Ms. Postles and our head of school, Dr. Marinucci. Did I miss anyone? Okay. And are you observing or just? Okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. And we do have some members of the public and school observing. Before we get started with the official business, I'll ask that everyone take a look at the meeting minutes from the June 26, 2020 meeting. And if you guys are okay with the minutes, I'll recognize a motion to accept. But if you want to take a few minutes to peruse, that is fine as well.
I motion.
Okay, it's been motioned by Bishop Thomas, seconded by Dr. Fletcher.
Robinson.
Mrs. Robinson. To
accept.
Yeah, yes. Mrs. Robinson. Don't beat me up. I apologize. To accept the June 26, 2020 meeting minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, they are.
Aye.
They are accepted. We're going to take a quick second. Someone just ring the doorbell. I'll
get it.
Gosh.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Lee.
Okay. I'm hearing you. Sorry. All right. Excellent. The minutes are accepted. We'll now move on to the place here. Any public comment? Okay. And now we'll go on to the finances and the web report.
Mr. Benz?
Okay, I'm ready. Let's start on page 105, which is where I usually start. It starts at the top with receipts and expenditures, the summary that shows the basic information all on one page. There's detail on other pages. This is the last report for fiscal year FY20. It started July 1, 2019 and ended June 30th, 2020. Since June's the last month of the fiscal year and since the students weren't basically in school, there's very little activity during the month, so I'm going to concentrate on changes that were made from the May report to this report. And let's start in the budget FY20 column. There's only two changes in that column. If you go about halfway down, you'll see state unit formula 05213 FY20. Last month, that figure was $2,300,223. It went up to $2,307,38, an increase of $515. If we move down about four spaces, The only other change was in food service, local food service, 9100 FY20. Last month, the budget there was $214,899.99. But since the food service program stopped probably in early March, I reduced the budget from the 214 down to 165. And then the total budget last month was 3,513,564.14. It went down to 3,464,278.15, a decrease of about 49,000. And that's a combination of the decrease in food service and a small increase in state funds. If we look at most of the categories, the receipts that we received are on all at 100%, except for if you look at the projected additional revenue column, there are five categories that we have a plus or minus. And let me just explain those. If you go to FY20-05-213 reading, you see a budget of 73,095, with receipts of 81,000. What happens is the teacher's new salary usually starts in September and goes through August. So that $8,006.27, even though it's minus, that's a positive thing. And we need those funds to cover the summer payrolls of the person who's already completed the work as of June. If you get down to the next one, local district funding, we picked up an additional $5,000 because the interest rate that they gave us on our funds deposit with the state was greater than it's been in the past. If we go to local food service, that 165 was an arbitrary number. I just wanted to cover the amount of revenue we received, so we're short 1132. And the other categories, they're minuses, so they're good situations. So if you look at that, our total budget was $3,464,000. We took in $3,477,000. So we took in about $13,000 more than we budgeted, so we're at 100%. And this is the final budget for the year. Let me stop there and see if you have any questions. If not, this could go to the expenditures. And I mentioned last month that we were working off of a preliminary budget all year, and then we had a significant salary increase in various categories. And I said I would go through the budget this time to make sure that the final budget didn't show any particular account code that we were over 100%. So a lot of those numbers have changed. But if you look at it in total, we spent 90.1% of our budget, even with making those adjustments. So we had a little bit of surplus based on that. It was based on 266 kids. So basically, we did a good job of managing the existing budget, and we came up with a surplus. So if we could move to the next page, which is... go to page, maybe I have a sequence here. Okay, go to page 3 or 4. And this shows the detail, more detail behind page 1. So the first set of categories, there are salaries. And you can see every category, our expenditures were within our budget. So in terms of total salaries, we were 98.9%. If you get down to OECs, which are basically driven off of their percentages of the salaries, except for health insurance, again, we are at 98.1%. And you can see the categories down below that, we're all under 100%. I want to point out one thing. If you look at page 3 of 5, you see that rent figure of $561,568.30. I try to, as I'm going through the budget, see if there was any possibilities of any errors. And most of the account codes are based on history or combinations of things. But when you do something like rent, it's based on a fixed number. So I had originally had a budget in there of $553,887, but I saw we spent $560,830. And the only reason that can be is if we made an error and overpaid them, or we coded something to this account code that shouldn't be there. So when I talked to Michelle probably a couple weeks ago, I asked her to look into it, you want to explain?
Sure, sure. So Miss Longo has retired, and, you know, we've had Miss Wilkins, who now has gotten married, so she's now Mrs. Hudson. So she's been with us. She's been the one at our board meetings since January, because she's been learning the role that Miss Longo has been doing. Hudson, I keep switching, forgetting to change her name. She and I sat down and we went through, I'll fix that. She and I went down and, hang on 1 second. There we go. She and I sat down and we went through all of the invoices. And we looked at everything, and we realized that when the payments were being made prior to Miss Hudson taking over doing it, the wrong monthly figure was being used. So with every couple of months or every 6 months, it changes based on a schedule. So rather than it going to the next scheduled monthly payment amount, that one was skipped and we went to the one after that, which caused us to pay, I think, $6,600 or $6,900 in additional payments over the course of time until we realized this. And so we immediately reached out to our landlord, let them know that we would be reducing our payment by that exact amount of money that we overpaid in this next payment, and that from then forward we would be paying the correct monthly amount until up and through the November 30th payment until it changed again on December 1st. They responded right away that, of course, that was fine, but we were able to rectify that, realize what happened, and then rectify that right away.
And that's the beauty of a budget. It shows you, you know, if it goes over. And it was interesting. They didn't call us to tell us that they were overpaid. So I told them, I said, next year I'm going to pay a month and see if they call us. So you can see the categories were all under 100%. So if you want to move on to the next set of pages, it's on the summary by fiscal year fund and line.
Summary by fiscal year.
I'm going to start with the total state funds. If you look at that, it shows the available funds, the expenditures during the year, and if there's any balance. Now, in most of these appropriations of the state, you have a 6/30 ending date. If you don't spend it, you lose it. There are some exceptions. If you look down at the last appropriation, next to last appropriation in that category, you see school safety and security. You see there's $5,355 left there, but that is a 6/30/2022 end date, so we don't have any problem with that. There's only three other categories that had money left as of June 30th, and remember I talked about that student success reading. We had $81,102, we only spent $70,000. There's $10,000 that's available to pay that person during the summer, and I think the other two categories there, even though they say a 6/30 ending date, the student success reading 053039 and 08914, I'm pretty sure they ran them over till next year, so we didn't lose any money. I don't know, am I correct on that?
That's correct. They all got extended until 2021.
Okay. Then if you look down to FY18 federal funds, that money's been all expended, so we didn't revert anything there. The next category of funds that are going to revert are the FY19. But we have until 11/30/2020. One, two, three of the categories has already been expended, so we do have time to deal with that. If we go to the next page of that report, I want to point out a couple things here. I evaluate how well we do in a year by whatever our local fund and cafeteria balance are as of June 30th. So you can see there, As of June 30 this year, local funds, we ended the year with 275, 253, 36. Do you see that? And then I just want to compare that to what we ended last year with in local funds. And the place you can see that is on page one. If you look about four up from the bottom, you look at local carryover 9800. It was 116,791.27, so that was quite an increase. If you look at cafeteria funds, again on the page we were at, we ended the year with 672,691.46. And if you look back on page one, the carrier in food service last year was 57,557.23. So again, a significant increase. So if you look at the comparison between, and there are a few other accounts, you know, you can see school activity there. We have a little bit of money in those accounts. But I take those two major accounts and compare. So if I take the 275 and the 72,000, that's 347,944.82 in available funds as of June 30th. If I take the 116,791 and the 57 from last year, that's 174. If I compare those, our balances grew by 173,596.32, which is great. And part of the reason is the state has given us some new appropriations, which we were able to use to cover costs. We used to take out state funds and local funds, and also, you know, the management. So I think we've had a good year in terms of that. Let me just stop there and see if that makes sense to everybody. If not, let me move on to the web report. And I just want to point out a couple things about the web report. If you look down at the bottom of the web report, it says the projected payroll accrual for the summer of 2019 was $314,462.36, and the accounts payable amounted to $28,184.30. Now, there's been some charter schools in the past that didn't make it through the whole year, or they completed the year and then they closed up, and the state got stuck for some salaries. And by that, what I mean is, we talked about the 10-month employees who work from September through June. So if you would close up in June, you would still owe all the July payroll, July and August payrolls. And so the state said you should have enough money set aside to cover your payroll accrual for the summer plus any accounts payable. And the accounts payable are really bills that you pay in July, which are for things you received last fiscal year. We have not done the payroll accrual for the summer yet or the accounts payable. So if I add those two together from last year, we'd be $342,000. Now, if we go back to what I just talked about and I combine the state of the cafeteria and local funds, we'd have $347,000. So we'd be fairly close to covering that obligation. And I think the state looks at you when you come back for renewal to make sure you have enough money to cover your payroll accrual and your accounts payable to see if you're viable. And I talked to Michelle about next year putting this balance of 275 and this 72 aside so we get used to living out of our current income. In other words, whatever our income is for the year, our expenses should exceed that so we never get ourselves in a situation like we've been in the past. Right now, we're starting to work on the budget for next year. State had originally said that they were going to give a salary increase, which they didn't do for this year. They will give a state step increase. And what I mean by that is this. The state has a salary schedule for all employees. And for teachers, there's a bachelor's, bachelor's 15, bachelor's 30, master's 15, master's 30, master's 45, and doctor's degree. So if someone was a bachelor's one last year, there would be a salary on bachelor's two, so you would get that. Now, each of those particular categories has a top. So if someone like has 15 or 16 years of service in a particular grade level, they will not get any additional money from the state this year. So if I had like a bachelor's, and I didn't look at the salary schedule, but if they had a bachelor's 15 or 16, the state's not going to give us any more money than they gave us last year. And Michelle, maybe you want to talk about some of the things you're looking at as you develop the budget for next year in terms of the number of students you're going to use and any other things you want to talk about.
Sure. So we've been really kind of digging into the budget. We've looked at our actual expenditures this year, and if you remember, we didn't really adjust the budget. We kind of lived with the budget that I came into, and then we were extremely conservative and as smart as we could be with the way we spent our money, while also making sure that we replaced things and bought the things that were needed. So while being very conservative, we also made sure that we bought enough Chromebooks so that every one of our children has a Chromebook. And we have extras so that, because you know what's going to happen. So if we bought exactly the right amount and somebody's goes down, then we're stuck without one for a child. So we have some extra Chromebooks, so that every child has a Chromebook. We also purchased the laptops so that all of our teachers had new technology to use. Thankfully, we did that right before, not having not really thinking, but I guess maybe it was a little bit of foresight on our part, but, we bought new laptops, so all of our staff has that. So we did spend some things, but it was on things that were necessary because our technology was dying. We've got a new curriculum in place for both reading and math now for our students. It's top of the line, and in order to really see the growth that we're looking for academically, we need to have the right tools in the hands of our educators. We were able to provide our staff with a nice pay increase in November, thanks to a vote by the board of allowing that to happen. We've currently been doing our budget based on the salaries that they have now with the step increases in place, and will likely come back to the board again around November after the unit count is finalized and we know what our real numbers are. So rather than a we think this is going to be our budget, but this is what our budget actually is, and ask again to go ahead and continue to keep our salaries as competitive as we can be so that we can maintain the best staff that we can, and make sure that we're giving our thanks in that way to our people. We're building our budget right now on 301 students. That is how many students we have currently enrolled. So our budget this past year, for reference, was built on 266 students, which is what we have had enrolled this past year. And we were able to maintain that number throughout the year because, if you remember, as students left, we still enrolled new students. So we maintained a really, really level number of students in our enrollment, which helped us greatly with keeping our kids enrolled for this coming year. As far as our enrollment for this coming year, I can tell you right now we're going to be at least at 330, which is our max enrollment, and I'm expecting that we'll actually go a little bit beyond that. We can go to 344 students because we're allowed to go 5% over, and based on the number of choice applications we've received, I highly anticipate, in the length of our waiting list that we have right now, I anticipate that we could easily achieve that number. But what we're looking for right now is to fill our kindergarten classrooms, so that we can have our academy students start in kindergarten and stay with us all the way through. One of the things, just while I'm saying that, if you're sitting in the room with us, you have a little postcard and you have a flyer. Please don't keep it. Hand it to someone else that has a young child. No, this is advertising. We are advertising, and we're asking you to help us. So, and thank you, because I know our board members are regularly. I have parents come in and say, you know, Dr. E sent me or Mr. Boynton sent me, and so thank you. But please keep sending people. We are really like it's word of mouth. That is how we grew this past year from what we were when I started to what we ended with, and that's how we're going to keep growing. It's the word of mouth piece. So, and I think the word of mouth is excellent, and we've got a great word on the street about what we're doing. So, take the flyer. Take the brochure and hand it to two different families and put your name on it and then like we'll give you a goodie or something. No, I'm kidding. But
I'll come back for donuts.
Okay. Well, you know, so for those of you that are here, our Mr. Davis, the wonderful Mr. Davis, has made treats for us that are in the other room. So at the end of the board meeting, there is a treat for us. So we are building the budget. We're building it off of 301 students, so we know we're being very fiscally conservative. By getting to 301 students, what we also did was we crossed a really big marker that Bill kept saying was our big marker. He wanted us to get to 20 units. He said, get to 20. We got to 20. We're over 20 now. So I don't know. For me, getting over the 300 mark, like I don't know. We had, you should have heard us hooting and hollering in the office when we crossed 300. So we're at 301 and it can't go below that. Like it has to just keep going higher. But getting, and then watching the unit count system, like we're like, I mean, every day we log in and we look at it and we get so excited when we see it. But we're over 20 units. What that means is that a unit is essentially one teacher or two paraprofessionals is the way it equates in the state system. And so what it allows us is when you get to 20, you can take that one of those and you can trade it in for two paraprofessionals. So two of our paraprofessionals we can use to have the state's assistance with paying for their health care and their salary and stuff, rather than us having that all be out of our grants or out of our local or however we're paying for it. And it also has where both of our office secretaries are now funded out of units rather than being partially funded out of, you know, one funded out of a unit and the other funded by the academy. So it's just where we're getting to the point where the support we need is now being covered by the state as well. So it's exciting to see the growth that's happened and where we're going and just knowing where we're headed is just getting even more amazing. So, Mr. Benton? Bence? I don't know where I got yes. Benton. Sorry.
I'm still here.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you for that. And like I said, in the past, we've always had enrollment problems, and our balances were very small as we begin the year. And this is probably the best position we've been in since I've been associated with this. I'm pleased. Hello?
I'm here. We're here.
Okay. That's all I have to say unless anybody has any questions for me.
No, thank you, Mr. Benz. I'll now entertain a motion to accept the budget. Let me go back to my sheet. I was looking at the school's website, which I also encourage everyone to do it. You guys made some changes. It looks really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I will now entertain a motion to accept the financial report as of June 30th, 2020.
Move that we accept the financial report as presented.
All right. It's been moved by
Dr. Fletcher seconded.
Okay. Been moved by Mrs. Robinson and Dr. E and seconded by Dr. Fletcher. To accept the financial report as of June 30th, 2020. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the motion carries. And we will now move on to report by our head of school, Dr. Marinucci.
Okay. So we have had...
Hey, Michelle.
Yes.
Are you
with me? I think so, Bill. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye. Okay, be safe.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we have had... Are you going to wait? Okay. We have had a when I started a year ago, I kept saying to Debbie, I can't wait till next summer when we have just a regular summer to plan and prepare for the year.
Little did you know.
I don't know what I was thinking. Because this has been anything but. But that's okay. That's okay. I can't imagine a better place to do this. So, safety is first. And we have been extremely, extremely focused on safety. I will tell you that I have become a social media junkie. I am in every Facebook group I can be part of because I want to hear what other people are saying and talking about and thinking about and complaining about and saying can't be done because, you know, some of the things people are saying can't be done, I know we can do. And some of the people that I want to hear what the challenges are because I'd rather know what people are thinking the challenges are in July and deal with them now than have them hit us in September. Right? So we need to be ahead of the curve and ahead of the game. And that's where we've tried to stay all along. A couple of months ago, and I'll tell you, Mr. Davis, I don't know where he is and if he can hear me. Okay, good. Mr. Davis, he's got real good ears. He usually, when he hears me say Mr. Davis, he's usually right there. Mr. Davis.
He was up by the front door.
Okay.
He's coming.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Davis has been a rock star. Like, this school would not function. This school would not function without Mr. Davis. I'm telling you.
I can barely get the door.
I know. It just keeps getting bigger. I know. Like, actually, so he's referred to by my family as the local hero.
That's
But Mr. Davis, one of the things that happened was Mr. Davis came in. He's always got ideas. And so he came into my office, probably 2 months ago or so. And he's always got ideas. He comes into my office and he says, "What do you think about this? Look at this." And he's got something on his phone that he's looking at, or he's got some paper that he's looking at. And in this case, it was three pieces of paper. And I said, "What is it?" And it's this, he was like, "Well, this is the cheap one." I was like, "Okay, but what is it?" He was like, "It's this really cool spray device where you can go in a room and you can fog it down really fast." I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "The church is using it, and I think we should look at it." I'm like, if you're saying we need it, then I think we need it. He's like, "Well, okay then," you know, and he gets, you know, I see his head swell a little bit. And then he says, just a little bit. And then I said, I was like, "Okay." And so I'm like, "Well, what are the other two things?" And he says, "Well, that's the inexpensive one. This one's this much money." And I was like, "Well, what's this one?" "Well, this one's a little bit more, but it does this." And I'm like, "Well, what's this one?" "Oh, well, this one, you can do, you can even spray the urinals, you don't have to touch them, and this and that." And I was like, "Well, I think we need that one." And you'd have thought that I gave him a new car. I mean,
is that next? A toy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that next? New car?
Yeah, you want to do, yeah, sorry, we don't do that here.
Anybody pitch in for that?
Okay, yeah. We'll take up a donation next, yeah, okay. But, so what we said was, I mean, really, carte blanche needs to be our stance on safety. With this kind of a pandemic, I mean, this isn't just the flu. This is a pandemic. This is a global pandemic. We've not lived through this. 1918 was the last time somebody saw something like this. With something like this, Mr. Davis gets carte blanche. So he has three machines, and he's happy. And he so he comes in the morning, and he fogs down all the rooms, the bathrooms, and everything. And I mean, in reality, this machine it takes 3 minutes to do a room. and it gets the whole room. So what would take, I can't imagine, like trying to do this room with all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take a very long time to really do it right.
Because you got
to
wipe everything.
Right. And with this machine, you can do a room in 3 minutes. Wow. So you can get the whole building done well, very quickly.
Awesome.
So we bought one of the really big machines, and it's not that big, but it's a nice sized machine.
It's a nice size.
Yeah, and Mr. Davis is happy. So, and then we bought two of the canister style ones. One is super portable, so that it goes out to the playground because we've got to spray down our playground equipment. Our kids need to be safe out there too, and if we're going to have them here, they need to go outside and play too. So we're thinking carte blanche when it comes to safety. That's what the COVID CARES money is for. So that's what we're using it for. We have a lot of PPEs. So we've got the personal protection equipment and things coming to us, masks and such. And so we've got that as well. We've got spacing. So after we finish the formal part of the board meeting, if you want to move not to the next room but the room after that, you'll see that Mr. Davis actually put tape on the floor to show the 6-foot spacing because we're looking at spacing in our classrooms. We came in and we measured. So there's the guide that we have on returning to school, which my copy is falling apart from the staples, but that's intended, right? You're supposed to do that and use this guide, and we've been using the guide. So we sit down on a regular basis and we talk through everything and what do we need to do. In addition to, and so we were talking about how do we mark the floors where it's not going to be gooey and come up, because I don't know about you, but any place that I've gone that puts stickers on the floors, they look horrible within a week. And I can see kids are going to just pick at it and do things. So we put down the stuff that you put on a gym floor, because that's intended to have a lot of traction and last. So we're trying to be really smart about the way we do it and think, okay, well, where would you find this kind of thing done and how can we do that? So we have stars on our banisters, if you notice that, vinyl stars. They're 6 feet apart. So if there's a child, if there's kids out there waiting to use the restroom, stand at a star. You're automatically 6 feet apart. We're trying to be cute and creative at the same time, but Mr. Davis, when his machine came, he put his suit on, and he set his phone on the banister, and he set the timer on it, and he posted it on Facebook, and I shared it, and we had the newspaper calling us, and we made a nice little article about our safety in the paper, and what was really amazing was when the reporter came to the academy, she was like, I haven't even thought of the things you're talking about. And I've been talking to all kinds of people, and they're not talking about these. So I feel really good that we're thinking through all of these things. Another thing that we've done is the Charter Network has been phenomenal as a partner with us. And the Charter Network has worked with it's Newcastle County, but they're including us because we're a charter school. And so all of our students, as well as our staff and our bus drivers and the bus contractors, are all getting tested prior to the first day of school. So 48 hours before school starting, we're all getting tested. And then there will be ongoing regular testing after that. So that's happening as well. So we've got, I really think if there's something we're not doing, it's because we haven't thought of it.
Right.
We're throwing it at people. Challenge us. Give us something and tell us what you're thinking of, because we want to be thinking of it. We did an open video conference call similar to what we're doing now, through the Google Classroom. We've started an Academy Families Google Classroom, and so our families can start joining up on that, because as they are, as we do have students that are virtual, we need the families to have access to materials and things, so our calendar and such. So we've got, we're putting it out there already. We've got that out there. And we had our first virtual session with our families, and it was very positive. They were very pleased and very, it was a very positive conversation. There were some questions, but we were able to answer all of the questions that they had. We had already had the answers for. So that felt really good. We've surveyed our families. And we did a blanket survey of kind of what would your preference be, and now we've actually reached out to nail it down to, okay, so Dr. Irwin, for your son, which of the preferences would you take? Would you like your child to be a student that's coming to the academy, or would you prefer your child to be remote? And we're willing to do whatever it takes to meet the needs of our students. So we are customizing and individualizing the learning plans for our children, which is exactly what we should be doing for all of them. And that is what we are doing. So, and our families have been really thankful that we're putting something out and we're not just sitting there waiting, because you can't, I realize that the information hasn't come out yet from the governor's office, but our families need to make plans. They need to know. Yeah. And whenever we're having these conversations and we're thinking about things, I always think, how would I want this done as a parent? Like, what would I need? And that's the avenue that we take. And thankfully, our staff all look at it that way. Like, what's best for kids? I can tell you that many of the traditional schools are starting late. They're delaying. They're not starting until the middle of September. They're taking extra time. I got on with our staff, and we've been having, I mean, our staff has not really stopped working, even though they're technically not, you know, they're not obligated to work in the summer. They've been working, and they've been communicating all summer long. So we have regular conversations where we video chat, and anyone that can gets on, and if they can't, they don't. That's fine. But most of them are on and paying attention and talking about things. And when I asked them, I said, so listen, I'm going to put it out there. Is it your preference to delay the start? Should we delay? And the statement was, what's best for kids? Why would we delay? We jumped right on remote learning. When we went out, we had no delay. We were one of five in the state that had no downtime. So why would we delay? We're ready. We've got this. I'm going, all right, that's kind of where I was. So, all right, we'll be out in front of this. Let's go. We've been surveying our families, and it was looking like it was about 70% that wanted to be online. It's skewing a little bit more to where it's more half and half, but still with our class sizes being about 20 students, that puts maybe 10 kids in a classroom, and 6 feet apart, we can fit 18 to 20 kids 6 feet apart in a classroom. So we're feeling very confident with what we're able to do. And we're going to work individually by grade level and with our classroom teachers to make sure that we're doing it safely and that we're supporting everyone from our staff to our parents to our students. We've also made it really clear to our families that remote learning doesn't mean homeschooling. You are not the teacher of your child when your child's at home learning. We are the educators. We are here. So even if no matter what, our staff will be in the academy. Unless we go into a full state lockdown, our staff will be here working. So you can call here. If one teacher is not available, somebody else can jump on to the video or a phone call to help and such. So we're there, we're available, we're ready, and we're looking at every way we can to be there for our families. We realize that many of our kids don't have a safe place to go during the day, and some of our families don't have internet, so we need to be that spot, especially for those families. I think, before I go into the other piece, does anyone have any questions about that? Because I think that's definitely, I'm sure, the board's big, mm-hmm. big concern is the safety of our staff and our students.
It sounds like you guys are on top of things.
We're trying.
And we appreciate the proactiveness.
Thank you.
A lot of people are reacting to what's happening.
Yeah, another thing that we did, there's a daycare center that is in the Western Sussex corridor, so very near Georgetown and the chicken plants that had all the outbreaks. They've been open since we shut down, and they have 200 plus kids, and some of them are up to age 12. So they have kids similar to our age group as well. And so I met this person through Facebook, through one of the chat groups, where there were a bunch of people saying why it can't happen, why it shouldn't happen, and all of this. And this person's going, but I'm telling you, it can be done. I've been doing this. It's working. And here's what I'm doing. I private messaged her, and I said, I want to talk to you. Like, what have you done? Tell me what you've done. Like, I want to know exactly how you've done this. Because if you can do this with two-year-olds that have their fingers in their mouths all the time, and you have to touch a two-year-old. You cannot be 6 feet apart from a two-year-old all day long. That doesn't work. So she actually joined our staff call this past week, and she was the staff. We were asking, like, bathroom breaks. How do you do that? We've already arranged where lunches will be in the classrooms, but how do you do, like, certain things? How do you handle this? So we're trying to get at every question we can. Okay. All right. So the other thing that we have then, aside from that, is this presentation.
Okay.
Before we go to the presentation, can I just ask a question?
Absolutely.
Yeah. First, I apologize for my last month meeting. My department scheduled an impromptu one, and it was the same time, so I can't open two computers at the same time. I said, okay. So I would apologize for that. That's the very great work you're doing.
Thank you.
And you keep increasing the bar, until you're really good. Now, you said our enrollment currently is 301.
Yes.
301, and we can hit the 330.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 5% on that.
Yes.
Okay. And for the new Chromebook, you said every student will get.
Yes.
And there is extra. So every student will get, is it the 301 currently or the projected 330, 344?
I believe we have 375 Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the difference is the extra.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is kindergarten included?
Yes.
They included for the Chromebook.
Oh, yes. Every student.
So that's my concern. Thank you. Great job here.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else have any questions about that part? Then we have a special guest that came.
I'm going to walk over there. My name's Kurt.
Do you want to come in front of here so that the people on I'll move?
And to Michelle, I'm Daddy. And when Michelle says daddy, she usually gets what she wants. Anybody is there? I can't see.
You see them? You don't see them?
I can see them, but can they see me?
They can see you.
Okay.
Yes, we can see you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're entirely welcome. Michelle came to me and asked if my charity could make a donation. And so I talked to our group, and it's the Masonic Charities of Delaware, and every year we have money that we provide to needy organizations. And she convinced me that this was a needy organization, and I can see by this discussion that y'all are doing just fantastic. and I can tell you I know why, because I've known her entire life. And when she wants to do something, step back, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, Mr. Davis knows that also.
Yeah, she empowered me about 30 years ago to buy a computer that she wound up with. So watch out, your machine might not stay with you. So anyway, we make a donation to your organization of a little over $25,000 with no restrictions. You do it with what you need. So
thank you.
Okay, so I think the other update would be just that we are definitely in a transitional phase in the building. For those of you here, you see the state of somewhat disrepair as we're building the wall for our boardroom. The wall is up, the doors aren't in yet, so I can't wait for you guys to come in and see it. It's painted, we've got our theme words up, we just don't quite have it finished yet, but we're giving a fresh look to the building, and it's really taking form, but it's still in that state of in-between that gives me a little anxiety as I watch the August month be here. But woo, we're getting there. We're getting there. So, and again, I just would like to thank everyone again for all of your continued support, because this is just an amazing place.
Well, I do make it a point to drive past the building at least once a day, and I'm not ready to roll in the door yet, but I'm getting there. But I see all the good articles, so I'm really tickled about all the great articles and things and the positive press, and it is paying off. It is paying off. So, you know, I want to make sure before we get to the end of the meeting, thank you for your good leadership, because things are happening at the academy that are just blowing my mind.
Thank you.
And anytime you get Bill Bench not to complain about we don't have enough students, so we ain't gonna make our budget.
That was good to hear from him. First time, you know, in a long time.
Yes, indeed.
Plenty of money.
Yeah, his message at the budget time is the same thing every year before you got on board. So I said, okay. But now I heard him actually say it. He had nothing to say about that.
Great. That was great. And every time I see us in the newspaper, I just do a, you know, one of those moments, you know, because it's so good to see the Academy of Dover in the paper on a very positive note about the school.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, I like that.
And they're watching our Facebook page, because they keep reaching out to us. Like, I don't even get a chance to reach them before they contact us, which is even better.
Right. It's all good, Michelle. It's all good.
Thank you.
Kudos to you and all of your staff.
Oh, yeah. It's a complete team.
Yes.
I don't know where are we at in the agenda. I don't know.
Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I didn't know. I was given Dr. Marinucci some leeway. I didn't know if she was done with her report.
I'm good now.
Okay. So thank you, Dr. Marinucci. We'll now hear from Mrs. Tridente.
Yes. Hi. Okay, so to kind of follow up what Michelle was saying about this and what you've all been recognizing about our staff is that the teachers truly appreciate the leadership. Teachers are collectively working together with leadership and to make sure things get done. And to be, like Michelle said, ahead of the curve. Teachers are coming to staff meetings weekly, excited, with ideas, ready to hear what's needed, what do we have to do, and how is this going to happen. And they share their ideas with excitement, and work through problem solving, and I think it's just really exciting, and truly, it just truly is a team. And the teachers, whether they're working remotely, whether they're calling in weekly on staff meetings, or they're coming in few days a week or periodically to either work in their rooms to find out what needs to be done, what extra support, what parents need to be called, what is it that we can do to make sure that the academy is ready when our children come back? And if they're not going to come back yet, how are we going to best support them and their families? We have to look at holistically. And I think one of the things that teachers have recognized with the way the shift with the academy now is that it really is looking at the whole child, to include family. Teachers, the leadership team, myself included, has been working with Michelle and Debbie to figure out how we're going to support our teachers in an effort to support our students, making sure curriculum is ready. How's that going to look in their classroom? How's that going to look remotely? Because it won't be the same as it was last year at the end of the year. We want our families with us, not homeschooling, but with us being educated and us facilitating that education. And the teachers are all on board and all working very hard to make sure that happens with a positive outlook and how we can get it done, and not the naysayers. Yes, we look at, we have to look at the risk factors and try to have those conversations, but it's a positive approach to getting the job done. And I think it's just a remarkable team, and I'm confident that this is just going to be a fabulous year, whatever comes our way.
Well, thank you, Ms. Trinende.
That's how we are. I think we're fully staffed and excited, and we pretty much met with all the teachers, and we're ready to go.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate what you're doing.
I think I touched on everything, and hope that it was informative and meaningful, and that you're getting the information from me that you were looking for. If there's any questions.
And no, I was saying thank you. We appreciate all your efforts, and if you can pass on to the rest of the teachers that the board appreciates what they're doing. We know you guys have a challenging year. It's been a challenging end of the spring and summer for everyone, and we know you guys are doing your best. And we appreciate everybody being proactive as well. And we know that the students need you guys more than ever as we get ready to start this fall. So
yes, and I think every single teacher at the academy is very much aware of that, and yeah, very much ready to meet the needs of our kids and our each other and our families.
Well, please don't hesitate to let us know anything that the board can do. I know we're not here every day like you guys are, but in any way we can support you, please don't hesitate to let us know. Directly
well,
or through Dr.
that. I know the teachers, and I will pass that message on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Dr. E, are you PTO?
Yes.
Yes. PTO report.
Mine is very short. Again, we would like to thank every member of the school team with the head Dr. Michelle.
While I'm waiting for the next item, Michelle, do you have a mask that's in the mail for me? I'm looking at that.
Yeah,
mask.
I'm looking at that.
Thank you.
Wow,
you got to get on her Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. We so I sew and I made this, but we have a machine that we can make these here.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I can put in my order by going to your Facebook store.
We will have one ready for you.
Great.
And now just other board member, Dr. E has started his report.
Okay. So in continuation,
I wonder if I should move this over
the
here.
The parents so far have been so thankful of what is going on.
That might help.
I have been here at the school twice during this pandemic. The last one was last Thursday. I would like to put it a scheduled visit. So when I came, I saw teachers here. I saw Mr. Oxen, Mrs. Oxen, and I saw some few humans also walking at the back. It shows the whole place is still very active. So I was really pleased because my son wrote a letter to his teacher. So I came to deliver it. That was on Thursday. So you see the energy, the passion, the excitement when I came to the premises. This is on schedule visit. That was the second time I'm doing it. The first time I saw the African lady, I can't remember her name.
Up front?
Up front.
Miss Baldwin?
Yeah, I saw her. I think I saw you too. Mm-hmm.
So I saw you the other day when you were in.
Yeah, that was the second time. The first one, and what I'm trying to say here is on behalf of the board, I do stopping unannounced, schedule, and the place is active, bustling with energy, passion from the teachers. So when I do my secret meeting with the parents, they are all happy. I give them feedback. Oh, I went to the school today. This is what happened. This is everything is on high energy. So they're so happy and they convey their messages. So when you get all those, they are calling in, telling you some secret meetings are happening behind your back. Okay. So I give them feedback. They're so happy and they're looking forward to working with you, making this whole thing stay the way it is. It's a great animation for them. Everybody's happy. So that's what I have for the PCO. That's a thank you message.
Excellent. All right. Can I move it?
You want to use it?
Yeah, because we're almost.
Yeah.
Okay. Do any of the board members have any announcements they'd like to make at this time? No, hearing none. I will move on. I will just say before we adjourn, let me also give more kudos to the staff and to Dr. Marinucci. I have some notes I took down. The fact that we have a waiting list with over 100 students is the best news I've heard since my service on this board. I think I echo that with Dr. Fletcher's earlier comments and our carryover funding, which is great. So I know great things are ahead, not just for the school, but it gives me some ease as a board member. There were many, many sleepless nights a few years ago, especially as it related to financing and teacher salaries, which I'm glad we've also been able to tackle that. So kudos. I know, Dr. Marinucci, you had a tough job when you took the position here, but it seems that you and the staff have tackled it. And I'm also going to say at the beginning, I was remiss. I would always forget about Ms. Postles, but that's Dr. Marinucci's right-hand person. And she is always here and always of service as well. So please pass the board's accolades on to your staff as well. We are 100% supportive of everything that's being done. And I think Mrs. Robinson said it earlier, and I too, from time to time, I get on Facebook and I see things that the Academy is doing or I see something in the paper. And I'm always moved to know that great things are happening. And to Dr. Marinucci's dad, my wife said thank you for the check as well. So she texted me back and said, tell him thank you. So barring nothing else, I will now entertain a motion to adjourn. All right. It's been moved by Mrs. Robinson, seconded by Dr. E., that we adjourn the Thursday, July 30th, 2020 board meeting at 7:15 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. We are off the record. You guys stay safe.